So wherever you are, whatever you can, you have to do for the oppressed ones. Because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not oppressor, and the khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets and imams are not oppressors. And then the people who are the leaders of the ummah after the a'imma and the time of major occultation, they should also fulfill justice. They should also not be oppressive. They should also fight against oppression. Whatever they can do, they should do against the oppressors. That's why we see that the anbiya, the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, all the prophets, they fought against oppression. And yes, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam fought against oppression. Then the a'imma alayhi salatu wasalam again fought against tyranny and oppression.
Yes.
Then we have the ruler of fuqaha and the jurists and the ulama in the history of the shayu, that they also fought against oppression in their own lives.
Okay.
So nowadays, if you see that...
So this is not merely a political support.
No, it is based on... It is based
Islamic
on
teachings.
Islamic teachings.
Yes.
If you believe in adala of God, and if you believe in adala for the human being and justice, then of course it means that you have to fulfill justice, you have to perform justice and in your life, social life, political life, economic life, even personal life. So that is the thing that is rooted in Islamic main teachings and doctrines. It is not only a mere kind of political decision. We know that the Shia people believe that mujtahid or marja'i taqlid should be adil, or the imam of jama'ah, when they pray congregational prayer, the imam of jama'ah, the leader of jama'ah, he should also be adil. Otherwise, no one should be led by this imam in their congregational prayer, and no one should do taqlid or follow the mujtahid who is not adil and just. So what is this justice? One of the manifestations of this justice is to resist against the oppression.
Yes.
To do something against oppression. To that extent that you can. You know, sometimes, for example, you can do lots of things.
Yes.
But sometimes, no. The thing that is possible for you that you can do, you should do. Against oppression, against tyranny, against injustice, you know. That is why what we see nowadays, that the Shayyo mostly support the oppressed people of Palestine.
Yes.
It is... It rooted in their Islamic beliefs, in their Islamic ideas. It makes no difference whether this Shia is from Iran or from Yemen or from Lebanon, from Syria, from Iraq, from wherever they are. They always try to do something against oppression. Not only in Palestine, everywhere, if they can do anywhere, do something against oppression, they would do, because it is a kind of main religious belief.
Yes. And you know that the major attacks of Islamic Republic of Iran on Israel, there was a direct attack by Israelis on the Iranians' consulate in Damascus, okay?
Yes.
So the piece of land of Iran was attacked. And you know, up until then, you know, Iran has tolerated all these oppressions and atrocities, and then because the land was attacked by the Israelis, it started attack because a piece of its land in another country. And we know that consulate is an office, official office, and the piece of land of a country put in another country.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@IRIB.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
But all in all, as you said, Iran and Islamic Republic of Iran as a Shiite land is after the rights of the Mazlumin and Mustazafin. And this has been the motto of the late Imam Khomeini, isn't it? Shaykh Rouhani?
Yes, of course. It is the motto of the tashayyu all across the world and also throughout the history. One point that I could mention is this, that, you know, we have an international law. We have a concept or a term. It is called self-defense.
Yes.
The right of self-defense.
Okay.
You know, every nation, every country, every state, according to this international law, they have the right to defend themselves, to defend their own people, their own territory, their own country. As you rightly mentioned, the embassies are part of the land of the country to which it belongs. That is why when it is attacked, it is exactly like this, that that country is directly attacked by the enemy. So here, according to the international law, the country has this right to defend itself against the enemy. That's why what Iran did was based on this right of self-defense.
Yes.
That is accepted by all nations across the world, based on this kind of international law.
Yes.
Iran and any country had this, yes, have this right to defend themselves when they are attacked.
Okay. I would like to play something for you and find a contradiction in, we can say, some of the so-called officials of the foreign countries. This is David Cameron, the Minister of the Foreign Affairs of the Britain. Okay, let's listen to that, see how much contradictory is he talking about.
A reckless and dangerous thing for Iran to have done. And I think the whole world can see all these countries that have somehow wondered, well, you know, what is the true nature of Iran? It's there in black and white.
What would Britain do if a hostile nation flattened one of our consulates?
Well, we would take, you know, we would take the very strong action.
And Iran would say that that's what they did?
Well, what they did, as I said, was a massive attack.
So they were right to respond, but they overreacted, is what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the attack they carried out was on a very large scale, much bigger than people accepted.
They have a right to respond.
Well, countries have a right to respond when they feel they've suffered an aggression. Of course they do. But look at the scale of that response. Had those weapons not been shot down, there could have been thousands of casualties, including civilian casualties. I think that's a really important point to take into account.
All right, this one's David Cameron. It says, you know, the journalist over there asks him, what would happen if, for example, your consulate is attacked, and said, our reaction will be severe, okay? It's Iran, what Iran did. And, you know, this was the art of the Iranians, Shaykh, to attack the military bases without killing the civilians, you know?
Yes.
No civilians were killed. But, you know, every day in the Gaza Strip, the innocent children, the infants are being killed.
Yes, unfortunately.
The fathers, the parents carrying the limbs of their children in the plastics, you know. This is really sad for such people like David Cameron to talk about, we can't say,
yeah, this is
rights of war or something like that.
This is the double standard that we have in our world, and the people of Palestine suffered a lot, but no one care. While at the same time, they say that no civilian casualties should be there, but of course there are thousands of them, but no one care. You know, this is human right. This is democracy. This is, let's say, children's right, women's right, animals' right. All these mottos, all these slogans that are always, let's say, followed by the Westerners.
Yes.
But they have their double standards. Here it is good, but there it's bad.
Okay.
This is what we see, you know?
They say that's
unfortunately,
that's right.
Yes.
Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, this also, I think, was a nice motivation for some of the Muslim lands in order to defend more the rights of the Palestinians over there, isn't it? I mean, it is not a good time to be silent. You know, so many of the official organizations all around the world, so-called humanitarian ones, are silent now, including the Muslim ones. What do you think the attacks of Iran and Israel, you know, has a message for the Muslim lands and the Islamic governments and the states?
You know, of course, when your land, your country is attacked, of course, you have the right to defend yourself. It is according to the international law. There's no any doubt about which. That's why no one can condemn Iran for this attack, because Iranians defend themselves. based on that international law.
Mm-hmm.
Same is the case with the other nations, with the other countries. If they are attacked also, they can defend themselves. And of course, since Iran is the main among the main supporters of the poor Palestinians, the oppressed ones,
yes,
that's why, of course, it can encourage other nations, particularly Muslims, to raise their voice and to defend and to resist against this kind of oppression that's going on against Muslims of Palestine. Yeah, that is, that gives this message, it conveys this message to the other nations as well.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. We really thank the IRGC and all, we can say, the Navy and the military forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is not only my gratitude, but the whole Islamic lands, you know, on these recent attacks on Israel over there, you know, and defending the rights of the Mazlumin and Mustazafin all across the world. Maybe this was a good lesson for all those people who are following the superpowers around the world. You know, this is a lesson. Do not be misled by the materialistic loves around the world, you know. Rights of the children of the Gaza and the innocent children of the Gaza who have been killed, you know, must not be violated. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, too, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لبن علي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي تهران
إروبا شابت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters. Chanting anti-Israel slogans and carrying placards with messages thanking the IRGC for conducting Operation True Promise. Thousands of Iranians marched down the streets in major cities across the country after the Friday prayers to voice their support for the armed forces and a recent punitive military operation carried out against Israel, dubbed Operation True Promise. The retaliatory attack was in response to Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria on April the 1st, resulting in the martyrdom of top IRGC commander, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, and six other military officers. The punitive retaliatory attack involved a slew of drones and missiles targeting and causing damage to Israeli military bases.
There was a time when they could attack us and get away with it. But now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasim. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out on the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Gisu Misha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Instead of beating the drums of war, it is the delicate taps of instruments such as the dulcimer or the santur in Persian and the harmonious melodies of different tongues that should be wafting across borders. As Iran celebrates its National Culture Week in South Africa, officials and the public have visited exhibitions in the key cities of Johannesburg, Pretoria and Cape Town to learn more about the Persian heritage. The event was held at the Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, which was a Dutch colonial fort and is now a museum.
Culture is a very powerful construct because it forces people to communicate, not only through language, because I can't speak the Iranian language, they can't speak Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue, but through our handiwork, through our art, through our crafts that we do, we can connect as human beings and exchange ideas, because culture is not devoid of power and of politics.
And this view is shared by South African officials and even within the Organization of Developing Economies, BRICS Plus, which Iran joined at the beginning of 2024.
But I'm looking forward to us coming out with a university of some sort. And that university is going to be a technology-driven university that has got culture imbued in it. Because we cannot just be driven by gadgets and technologies. We have to put our humanity within this technology. If we can do that, I believe that we can go very far as a people.
South Africa and Iran have extensive relations, and so through expanding this exchange of unique arts and crafts, they can effectively use the skills of their respective peoples to develop economic ties and, within the framework of BRICS Plus, shape a new world which breaks away from the current system. Culture is important now more than ever, as it fosters understanding and can develop closer relationships between different peoples. In a world overwhelmed with conflict, exhibitions such as these are important for peace. Hassan Siria, Cape Town.
It took the Turkish president more than 3 days to come up with a statement on Iran's retaliatory attack on Israel. Erdogan blamed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for trying to spread conflicts and create tensions in the region through provocations. He added that those who did not voice their rejection of Israel's aggression on Gaza for several months are today condemning Iran's response. İsrail'in
uluslararası hukuku. The main one responsible for the tension that gripped our hearts on the evening of April 13 is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his bloody administration. Israel is trying to provoke a regional conflict, and its attack on Iran's embassy in Damascus was the last drop.
Turkish government was criticized by the opposition for its silent position from regional tension. Deputy Chair of Republican People's Party Erhan Özgel said he was astonished not to see a single reaction or statement by Erdogan's cabinet or his ministers after the attack.
Amid such an important development in our region and a military assault launched directly by another state targeting Israel for the first time since the October War in 1973, amid such an escalation and such great tension in the region, we're astonished to observe that not a single official, especially the minister of foreign affairs, has made any comment comment on this issue.
Meanwhile, an opposition parliament member slammed the AK ruling party's double standard, saying they pray for the children of Gaza on one hand while selling the fuel that is used to bomb those children on the other.
Can you imagine this hypocrisy? On the one hand, they are praying for the children of Gaza, and on the other hand, selling fuel to Israeli jets. You say Al-Quds is your red line. You are sending terrorism to Quds. You have Gaza children in one hand and the green dollars on the other hand. Shame on you.
Turkey holds significant importance in the region, and every development has an impact on Turkey politically and economically. Therefore, as experts say, the only way Turkey's silence can be explained is by linking it to the economy. And it is also the reason why Ankara did not immediately cut trade ties with Israel, and it merely severed diplomatic relations. Many believe a country like Turkey and a leadership like the Justice and Development Party were expected to not only defend Iran, but also stand by its Muslim neighbor against Israel.
Turkey had been silent about this issue, but as of yesterday, support came from President Erdogan, blaming Israel and supporting Iran. This was very important and provided a clear and good response. True, Turkey has economic relations with Israel, but if Turkey wants to develop and enhance its relations with Eastern countries, such as Iran, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and even Syria, it can reach a good place regionally. While Turkey has economic relations with Israel, its relationship with Iran goes much further. Therefore, Turkey should definitely stand by Iran in this matter.
Many believe it is time for Turkey to choose where to stand, rather than trying to verbally support the resistance and continue to press ahead with its Western and Israeli collaborations. Erdogan's comments on Iran's retaliatory attacks came late, just like the decision to cut a trade with Israel was late. It seems Ankara is walking a very thin line in its ties with Iran amid fears of harming economic relations with the Israeli regime. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
After days of anticipation, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles and drones against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The legitimate response came after Israel attacked Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st, violating all international laws and conventions.
Iran's response comes within the international laws, specifically Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which gives Iran the legitimate right to defend its national security. The Iranian attack on Israel has changed the geopolitical map in the region, and it was a strong warning to the evil regime.
The Iraqi people, as well as resistance leaders, hailed the Islamic Republic for the unprecedented response, dubbed Operation True Promise, which was within the inherent right of self-defense that entitles any country to protect its diplomatic institutions. Iran's retaliation came after the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel's attack, which killed 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps.
The resistance and the people of Iraq surely stand by the Islamic Republic of Iran amid the failure of international community and the UN Security Council to condemn the Israeli attack on the Damascus consulate. Iran had all the rights to defend itself and respond with proper means and timing.
The significant operation clearly shows that Iran will not hesitate to take action against any threat to its citizens and institutions. Now, with its capabilities and military evolution, Iran has significantly changed the rules of battlefield in modern times.
Iran's retaliatory operation, which came after a long time of strategic patience in the face of Israeli's brutalities, shows that the Tel Aviv regime's days of hit and run are over. And Iran does not hesitate to exact a devastating revenge on its enemy, despite its all-out Western support. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Iran's retaliatory strikes on Israeli-occupied territories have drawn admiration and praise in Afghanistan from both the country's ruler, the Taliban, and the Afghan people. They said the reprisal strikes were completely legitimate, justifiable, and have expressed their support for Iran in the face of hostilities.
Long live and fingers crossed to the leader of Iran and to the brave nation and IRGC of Iran for their bravery in hitting the occupying Israel. They did this while many Muslims, like Saudi rulers, are indifferent to the cause and values of Muslim world. Praise Ansarullah of Yemen and Hezbollah and any nation who stands for the Islamic and human rights of Muslim people.
We are happy that Iran carried out the retaliatory strikes on Israel. Every Muslim should feel proud because the bully occupying Zionist regime came under fire. Look, Israeli forces have been oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine for decades. It's the time for all Muslim countries to unite and show the aggressors that we can and we have such capabilities.
The Taliban-run foreign ministry issued a statement on Sunday declaring Iran's recent attack on Israel as a legitimate defensive action. It added that Israeli genocide must be stopped in Gaza. Experts say the Afghan ruling authorities' support for Iran's reprisal actions and the Palestinian cause shows Muslims are now united against Israel, and hatred towards the Tel Aviv regime is now everywhere across the Muslim world.
Decades of Israeli occupation in Palestine and its atrocities have made all Muslims hate this regime and call for the regime to be crushed. Over the past few years, the attacks carried out by Hamas and Hezbollah shattered the Israeli regime's grandeur. Iran's strikes against Israel came amid Israel's devastating and deadly bombing campaign against Gaza.
The Afghan people also showed their anger with Israel for its war crimes in Gaza. They call for an immediate ceasefire in war-torn Gaza and demand that the international community help end the war and support Palestine in the face of Israeli invasion. Afghanistan stands firm beside brotherly Iranian nation. Palestinian cause is bringing the two neighbors even closer. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Described as an act of self-defense, the Yemenis regard the extensive missile and drone strikes carried out by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps on the Israeli-occupied territories as a response to the Israeli regime's assault on Iran's consular building in the Syrian capital, Damascus.
We consider the Iranian strikes against the Israeli entity a legitimate attack and a response to the Israeli attacks that violated Iran's sovereignty by hitting its consulate in Syria. The Iranian attack is a legitimate move to punish Israel and is part of measures to stop the regime's ongoing crimes since October 7.
The public sentiment aligns with the official stance as locals overwhelmingly endorse the Iranian strikes, stating that the Israeli regime and its allies only understand the language of force.
The Iranian attack is supported not only by Yemenis but also by all free people in the world. The Iranian response sends a message that Iran's capability is real and that all it was seeking was to liberate Palestine and stop the crimes by the Zionist enemy. Today we are facing an exceptional operation because Iran had not carried out an operation of this scale since the end of the Iran-Iraq war. Iran has been characterized by patience and deliberation due to the way it deals with hostile states. This is the first time that Iran has carried out a military operation against its enemies from within Iranian territory. This attack was successful, came at the right time to put the Zionist enemy in its place, and proved that Iran is capable of blowing up Israel.
Over the past few years, Yemeni-Iranian relations have strengthened, especially during the U.S.-backed war on Yemen, initiated by the 2014 revolution. This military campaign aimed to restore a U.S.-aligned former government in Yemen.
People here believe that the recent Iranian attack against the occupied territories significantly impacts Western powers, demonstrating unity among the resistance forces in the region. They view the attack as the beginning of the end for the Israeli regime and its supporters. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Pro-Palestinians in France gathered the day after what was reported to be the first peaceful night in Gaza in 6 months. The reason? The night before, Iran launched a historic missile retaliation against Israel, which prevented Tel Aviv from continuing their attempt at genocide and ethnic cleansing. At the demonstration, there was widespread approval, support, and even gratitude and admiration for Tehran's counterattack against the unprecedented bombing assassination at an embassy.
I'm not an anti-Semite, and as a Muslim, I want us all to live together peacefully, but I see Iran's attack as something good on their part. Iran is the only major country which has had the courage to attack Israel and defend Palestine's innocent civilians. This war can easily stop if Israel can finally realize that they are attempting a genocide.
Those who are occupiers do not have the right to legitimate defense, but Iran does have the right, and they used it to defend Gaza as well. Israel bombs and assassinates people constantly. How can people forget about what Israel has done?
Protesters contrasted Iran's actions with those of the French foreign minister last week. After mentioning the possibility of placing sanctions on Israel over Gaza, he immediately backtracked the next day in front of Parliament.
The French government is quite the accomplice in the genocide that Israel is waging right now. Why aren't there any sanctions despite all these deaths? And when France talks so much about defending human rights, it's simply shameful.
French forces claim to have contributed to Israel's defense. In a major blow to perpetual Israeli hopes of escalating the violence, Washington has already refused to join any potential Israeli attack on Iran. It's uncertain if the cycle of Israeli assassination and Iranian retaliation is now concluded, but Israel has already returned to indiscriminate bombing and mass murder in Gaza, despite 6 months of global outrage, the murder of 34,000 Palestinians, and 76,000 injuries.
Will Israel pursue an even wider war? Will more Arab nations be inspired to join the cause of defending Gaza? What's certain is that many are happy that, for one night at least, the guns aimed at Gaza's civilians finally fell silent. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Pakistanis are showing staunch solidarity with the Iranian retaliatory strikes against the Israeli-occupied territories. Social media platforms overflow with messages of congratulations for Iran's effective response to Israel's atrocities, hailing Iran as a courageous champion of Muslim states willing to confront a Zionist regime, especially following months of atrocities against the Gaza Strip.
We are proud of Iran for taking a stand against Israel's aggression. The Palestinians have been suffering for decades, and it's time someone took action to protect them. Iran's attack shows that they won't tolerate the oppression any longer.
I fully support Iran's decision to strike back against Israel. The Palestinians have been living under siege for decades, and it's high time someone stood up for them. Iran's actions give hope to oppressed people everywhere.
The Pakistani government has echoed both the sentiments of its citizens and voiced grave concerns over escalation of tensions in the Middle East. Islamabad underscored the Israeli blockade of Gaza as a significant factor contributing to the recent wave of tensions, emphasizing the urgent need for international intervention to prevent further escalations in the region.
Iran has done the right thing, legally and morally, because Iran has retaliated against Israeli unwarranted aggression and attack on Iranian diplomatic installation in Damascus. And that was a violation of UN Charter and international law. So what Iran has done is the right thing. They have responded in kind, and they have taken the battle to the aggressor, and they have hit Israel.
The people of Pakistan emphasize the urgent need for global intervention to halt the escalation of conflict in the region and call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Iran's attack on Israeli-occupied territories has garnered widespread support from Pakistanis, particularly due to their perceived alignment with the plight of people in Gaza. The warm reception of Tehran's operation by the Pakistani nation highlights its desire for a more assertive response to Israel's ongoing atrocities against Palestinians. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Leaders meeting with heads of three branches of government and senior officials. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with government ministers, senior officials and top managers of the Islamic Republic on Wednesday, 3rd of April 2024. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the heads of the three branches of the Iranian government and a number of current and former government officials on Wednesday, 3rd of April, the 23rd day of the blessed month of Ramadan. The leader started off by saying a few words about the blessed month of Ramadan. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Ramadan is a blessed month in every sense of the word. This month truly is a blessed month as it develops and improves the inner spiritual abilities of individuals in various ways. It elevates people in both their human and divine characteristics. The betterment of individuals in society leads to the betterment of society as a whole." Commenting on fasting and the recitation of the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "This has been emphasized and encouraged for this month, with people being promised increased reward. Beseeching God, reading supplications and reciting the recommended prayers for this month. Additionally, there is the Night of Qadr, which presents an extremely important opportunity because the Night of Ordainment, or the Night of Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. And there are various other aspects. With regards to fasting, fasting during the month of Ramadan develops an individual's ability to resist temptations. This is very important. A person's carnal desires never end. The more one responds to these desires, the more the cravings and expectations of the human's carnal self increases. It is necessary for a person to have the strength to curb these desires. Fasting gives us this strength. It allows us to practice strengthening our willpower and spirit and also controlling the never-ending desires of our carnal self. This is just one way to improve ourselves." In further remarks, the leader said, "Reciting the Holy Quran for those who reflect on its meaning refers to connecting to the endless sea of Islamic teachings. We have a constant need to be able to strengthen divine understanding in our hearts and to raise the level of our own understanding and insight. In the Quranic verse, 'To him ascends the good word.' A major part of this good word is the understanding that enters the human self from the Quran." The leader added, "The supplications that have been recommended for the month of Ramadan, at Sahar, the time before the morning call to prayer, during the nights, during the days, and on special days such as the first day of the month of Ramadan, immerse the human heart in remembrance of God. If a person pays attention to these supplications, it will lead to one building God's remembrance in himself or herself, and a connection with God in a suitable way. According to this noble verse of the Holy Quran, "And the remembrance of Allah is surely greater." The main benefit of the ritual prayers is the remembrance of God, which brings happiness, progress, betterment and improvement, and helps one to avoid sin. Turning to the night of ordainment, or the night of Qadr, the leader said, "The night of Qadr is a night of destiny. During the month of Ramadan, one can shape one's destiny by harmonizing with the night of Qadr. This is not a trivial matter. This is of great importance for those who earnestly pursue it. What is needed during these nights is asking and a yearning to ask. And of course, the night of Qadr stands out from all the other nights of the year. The rest of the nights of Ramadan have more or less the same attributes. These are what develop, cleanse and polish the intellect and the human mind and the human heart. When these qualities exist in an individual, they have a ripple effect in the wider society. The collective identity of society is shaped by the identities of individual members of society. Once we are able to correct ourselves, our influence on society increases accordingly. This is what strengthening the self really means." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Ramadan is a month that is related to society. It is the month of helping others. It's the month of giving charity and showing kindness. It's the month of iftar, the evening meal for breaking the fast, and giving iftar to others that has been so highly recommended. It isn't told to just give iftar to the less fortunate. The spirit of being in contact with and helping others, being together and showing kindness to others are some of the special features of the month of Ramadan. Therefore, Ramadan presents a wonderful opportunity for spiritual healing. Throughout the year, we suffer from wounds to our soul and to our lives. Every sin inflicts a wound. Much like physical injuries, they harm a person's soul, creating the wound. Ramadan, which is the month of seeking God's forgiveness, is the month of repairing these wounds inflicted during the rest of the year. We should be able to emerge from this month with a healthy soul, God willing. If you have not forgiven us in what has passed of this month of Ramadan, then forgive us in what remains of it, since this is the month of seeking God's forgiveness." Ayatollah Khamenei added, "The concept of istighfar, seeking God's forgiveness, and repentance in the Islamic teaching is a very important matter. It is not specific to just personal issues either. Repentance with regards to a personal sin is one thing, and repentance with regard to a sin in society is another thing. The Holy Quran states that, "Now turn penitently to your Maker, and slay the guilty among your folks." This is with regards to sins in society. So when a sin is committed in society, the members of society or those responsible for creating the sin and the repercussions resulting from it must seek God's forgiveness, and they must repent. Turning to the economy, the leader emphasized that the realities of Iran's economy are both bitter and sweet. The bitter facts regarding Iran's economy include inflation, fluctuating and unstable prices, the national currency decreasing in value, and widening gap between the rich and the poor. The sweet facts about Iran's economy include the building of essential infrastructure, the revival of a large number of factories and workshops which had been shut down or were about to be shut down, manufacturing, production and employment, the establishment of thousands of high-tech, knowledge-based companies with a young, energetic, highly skilled and highly motivated workforce, and the many innovative and high-tech products which these companies produce. The good news is that these companies will gradually turn around and boost Iran's economy. Commenting further, the leader said, "The people of this country quite rightly expect the economic decisions and economic initiatives undertaken by officials and government to have a tangible and positive effect on their daily lives. This is a reasonable expectation, and the government and officials and managers must work towards realizing and achieving this expectation. It is a reasonable expectation, since the country is endowed and blessed with extraordinary capacities and natural resources, as well as an excellent human resources." Turning to the slogan of the year, "Leap in production together with people's participation," Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The main purpose of this slogan is to focus the attention of everyone on facilitating the participation of people in economic activities, and in the true sense of the word, to use the people's financial, mental and intellectual capabilities, along with their innovation and creativity, to improve the economy. Some believe that if people become involved in the economy and its management, this will limit the authority of the government. However, this is a misconception. Responsibilities should be divided among government officials and the people. When I say the government, I do not only mean the government itself, I'm also referring to semi-governmental entities as well. There is no difference, and we must allocate tasks. Some tasks are the responsibility of the government. Other tasks are the responsibility of the people." The leader emphasized that the way should be opened up for people to be able to engage in economic activities, and that this will greatly strengthen the country and stabilize the economy. Turning to the situation in occupied Palestine, the leader said, "It is important to keep Gaza as the first priority in public opinion worldwide. This is an extremely important point. From what I understand of recent history, the atrocities occurring in Gaza are unprecedented. These kinds of crimes, the mass killings, genocide and attacks on women, children, patients, hospitals, and these tragedies that took place in hospitals are truly horrific. It is so terrible that even those who have been brought up in Western culture, in Europe and in the United States itself, are crying out in protest. Despite not having full access to information, they're taking action based on their limited knowledge of what is happening. This is how severe the crimes of the Zionist regime are. And this is truly an important point. It is also very important in another sense. That is the fact that the Zionist regime has suffered two major defeats in Gaza. The first defeat it suffered was due to the Al-Aqsa flood operation on 7th of October last year, which, as I have mentioned before, cannot be compensated for. That is truly how it is. That defeat has not been compensated for, and it will never be compensated. A regime that relies on the accuracy of its intelligence, on the development of its military capabilities, and on its military superiority, claiming that it is aware of what's going on around it, experienced an intelligence defeat of this magnitude at the hands of Palestinian resistance group with limited resources. This was the first defeat of the Zionist regime suffered. The defeat has not been compensated for, and it will never be compensated for. The second defeat is a defeat that it experienced over the past 6 months. From the first day when they entered the battlefield, they declared certain goals to make up for their first defeat, but they have been unable to achieve any of these goals in the past 6 months. They have launched attacks using all kinds of weaponry and equipment with the unfailing help of the United States, which has helped the Zionist regime with military, financial, and political assistance. The United States has vetoed several resolutions at the UN Security Council. The latest resolution, which in some ways it could not veto, is said to be non-binding. The Zionist regime is massacring women and children because it has failed to be able to confront the resistance fighters. It feels powerless there, becomes agitated, attacks innocent, defenseless women and children, and has killed over 30,000 Palestinians, most of them women and children. This defeat will definitely continue. They have fallen into a trap of their own making. They have thrown themselves into a trap from which there is no escape. Commenting further on this year's International Quds Day rallies and marches, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "This year's International Quds Day rallies and marches against the usurping Zionist regime were more enthusiastic than ever before. In previous years, International Quds Day was only observed in Islamic countries, but this year, International Quds Day was magnificently observed in non-Islamic countries too. The people of Iran showed their full support for their Palestinian brothers and sisters." In concluding remarks, the leader wished God's greetings, mercy and blessings upon all those present.
اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
July 12, 1983. Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Ambition is the result of lack of purification of the soul. Of the things that a person suffers from is this eternal evil, which urges him to take change of efforts. If he clutches with himself that a greater reward would be given to him, should be assist the person who is in charge and does a better job, he will not accept. The question is not that he wants the reward, the question is that he wants the material world. If difference arise among individuals, seek it within the individual themselves to discover the issue. Is the issue interest of Islam and interest of the Muslim, or the issue is his own interest?
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. About trust in God, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "Do not be egocentric and subordinate your will to the will of God Almighty. He will then make you an instrument and manifestation of His will." You know, in this viewpoint of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, he is in fact focusing on the subject of tawakkul, which is highly recommended in our religion. You know, trusting God means to rely upon Him and to commend all affairs to Him by diverting from anyone or anything else. The source of trust in God is power of heart and conviction. Likewise, loss of trust in God is originated from feebleness of heart and conviction and influence of apprehension and illusions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book, Allah is sufficient for the needs of whoever trusts in Him. Surah At-Talaq, verse number 3.
Ya صلي على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صلي
يا رسول الله
يا ربنا صلي على
Trust in God does not mean to neglect the means that achieve benefits and to leave no single hand for facing events and crises. As a matter of fact, trusting God is to confide in and depend on Him exclusively, because He, being the source of goodness, the originator of reasons, the predominant over the creatures, and the only one able to give success, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have such trust in God should not conflict with the reliance on the natural means and the outward reasons for achieving the aims, such as supplying for traveling, armament for fighting against the enemies, treatment against diseases, and guard against dangers. You know, all these are necessary for protecting man and achieving his aims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to make all matters proceed according to their natural reasons. However, it is necessary to depend upon and trust in God for achieving these purposes. That is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh recommended us to strengthen our trust in God, and I hope that all of us would reach this level of spirituality to be pleasant with whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and consequently thank Him for everything that happens in our lives. Thank you very much for listening to us. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.